big difference here. I have Dan Sheridan with me. We're here on a Southern tour. Dan, it's good to have you on.
It is fantastic, and all I know is there's no snow around me, and I see greenage.
Greenage. Things live down here. Things are alive. There are birds. The turtles are happy. The otters are happy. Everybody's happy in Florida.
That's right.
Right. If everybody moved here, they should have moved here. The state might fall into the ocean. But anyway, Dan's going to help me here with Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins, Brief Thoughts on 2 Timothy. I love the title of this chapter here on page 91, chapter 3. It's called It Will Get Worse. I'm not saying we're pessimists or anything, but...
Yes, we are. We are pessimists.
Was the Apostle Paul a pessimist?
The Apostle Paul was the chief pessimist. And as a matter of fact, there was an article written by A.E. Nock that I actually posted on my website, if you might not mind if I give a plug. Mm-hmm. And I put it... I normally don't put other people's writings on my website, but when I read this, it came just at the right time. And I put it on my website at SheridanVoice.com. Go read Paul the Pessimist, but wait till you're done listening to the show, obviously. But it's not by A.E. Nock, excuse me, it's by Vladimir Gelesnov.
Vladimir Gelesnov, yeah, A.E. Nock's co-laborer, yeah.
And the point being is that the Apostle Paul lived in a time, Rome. Rome had technology. It had philosophy, but Paul wasn't impressed with any of them. And all Paul could say in a time where human wisdom was at its height and technology was at its height, all he can say is, in the last days, ferocious times will be present. The Concordant Version says perilous. It's ferocious times. So we are pessimists in that sense. We have no faith. See, when we say we're pessimists, we have no faith in man.
Yes.
Right. We have absolute faith in God. We know where this era is heading and what's coming on this earth, and there's not going to be an improvement Godward. And so we're not impressed with internet or technology or all that other stuff, and especially religious developments in big churches with screens to watch all over the world from.
Yeah.
We're not impressed with that. Neither would Paul be. So,
well, we think we're the only generation that has technology. I mean, but it's all relative. There were technological advancements in Paul's day, too. And as you say, religious advancements and the philosophies of the day. Rome, Greece was in high gear.
Right.
And the philosophers and all that. And Paul, again, just looked at the whole. He said, I have been crucified to the world, and the world has been crucified to me. It's almost like we're operating in a bubble of grace because we're surrounded by madness. And it's getting worse. And this is the title of chapter 3. It will get worse. We're quoting from 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also, that in the last days, ferocious times. Now, the Concordance says perilous periods will be present. Love the alliteration there, but I prefer truth over alliteration. And this word is translated ferocious in Matthew
8:28.
Matthew 8:28. Read 8:28, because the same word being used there of these demoniacs is the word being used to describe this era. But before you read that, I want everybody to know that, again, it's not going to necessarily outwardly look like a ferocious time. But the deception is going to be ferocious. The deception is going to be backed by the ugliest, hairiest demons in the universe. And again, they're disguised as ministers of righteousness.
And that's why Paul calls it the secret of lawlessness. In the Lord's day, do you want me to read this?
Yes.
In Matthew 8:28, it says this, and at his coming to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, two demoniacs met him who were coming out of the tombs, very ferocious, so that no one is strong enough to be passing by through that road. These demons were so ferocious mm-hmm. that no one could pass them. And A.E. Nock in the keyword concordance says, this is a word that Aristotle used for wild boars, ferocious. And in 2 Timothy, we read about demon activity, don't we?
Yeah.
And what is he talking about here? In the last days, perilous or ferocious periods
That should be translated.
It's ferocious because demons are still operating, but now they're operating in secret. They're not like the demoniacs where you can recognize them. They don't foam at the mouth. They stand behind pulpits now.
Right, exactly.
That's the difference, and that's why it's ferocious periods. And if no one can pass by a demoniac, that's one of our fans out
there.
Tell autographs after the show.
Autographs after the show. The autograph hounds are after.
That's right.
Go ahead, yes.
And if nobody could pass by those ferocious demoniacs,
yeah.
Think of how much worse it is now, where they come in a secret form and deceive. That's even worse.
That's the big difference, and that key phrase, the secret of lawlessness. The secret that nobody realizes today is that lawlessness will be disguised as righteousness. And I say that all the time, because that's the whole shock, is that it's cloaked. And as A.E. Knox said, love this quote, religion is the greatest cloak evil ever had.
So wow, I never heard that before. Yeah, religion is the greatest cloak.
Evil ever had.
That's good stuff.
And that, to me, that defines this era. And Paul's mentioning this in 2 Timothy 3. Now this know that in the last days, ferocious periods will be present. And for humans will be selfish, fond of money, ostentatious, proud, calumniators, stubborn appearance, ungrateful, malign. It goes on. And then verse 4, it starts to take a religious turn. And I think these things are increasing in their ferocity. I think the list is getting more heinous as we go. Fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God. And I've been saying this on this series, Dan, over and over again. When we hear phrases like fond of their own gratification, we automatically think sex or overeating or some kind of overindulgence of any fleshly sort. But I think in the context, fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God, this is a religious context.
Why do people go to church, and how do they choose them?
For their own gratification.
Now, here's one, before you go further, if I may point something out.
Please do.
It says that for the last days, ferocious periods will be present, for men will be selfish. Paul is not saying, watch out for the last days when unbelievers are going to be ferocious. He's not talking about the so-called heathen here.
Oh, yeah.
We already know about that from Romans 1. Paul is not warning us about Nero. He's warning us about those who have, as Nog pointed out, they're in the cloak of truth.
That's a good... Go ahead, I didn't finish your thought, but I like your analogy between Romans chapter 1 and 2 Timothy 3. Maybe we should draw that
Why don't
analogy.
You go ahead? Go ahead, do that.
Well, Romans 1, Paul is reading how terrible humanity is, and it's a broad humanity. I could go there real quick here. Of course, many of our listeners will already realize this list. Hate to go over it, it's so ugly. Talks about those who know God, but not as God do they glorify or thank Him. Vain were they made in their reasonings. I'm in Romans 1. Verse 21, vain were they made in their reasonings, dark is their unintelligent heart, alleging themselves to be wise, they're made stupid, change the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of corruptible humans. Now, in this whole context, he's talking about the world at large. And we're seeing a similar, he goes on there and talks about God gives them over to the lust of their hearts, uncleanness, dishonoring their bodies, all these things that the humans do beside nature. Then you get to the big list in verse 28. God gives them over to a disqualified mind, filled with injustice, wickedness, evil, greed, distended with envy, murder, strife, guile, depravity, whisperers, vilifiers, detesters of God. Paul gets on a roll here.
Take a breath there, bro.
Yeah, I can't.
Man.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Unintelligent, perfidious, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, those who recognize have gone blah, blah, blah. No, but what is remarkable is in 2 Timothy we have a similar list, fond of their own gratification, fond of God, stubborn appearance.
Stubborn appearance.
Here's the difference.
Lay it on me.
In Romans, he's talking about the world at large. And as you pointed out, in 2 Timothy 3, he's talking about the church, what has happened to the ecclesia of God. It's been infiltrated. And the apostasy has to do with those who have once stood.
Right.
The word apostasy is, apostasis? Am I getting the right prefix?
Yeah, I think so.
It means from standing.
From standing.
You've once stood and you fall from a standing.
Yep.
And only the so-called, only the true church can actually apostatize. Now, in Paul's day, I think, I know, they started pure because they had the Apostle Paul there.
Right.
And then they apostatized. They were once standing, and they went from a position of standing, and they got all this error and all this. But now the error has been passed through, and now people don't even start right.
That's a progression throughout history. Do you remember John's disciples, John the Baptist's disciples?
Yeah.
They were once hated. And then all of a sudden, when they approached the Lord later, they're with the Pharisees. We and the Pharisees fast often. All of a sudden, they became an accepted group. And then what happened to the believers in Jerusalem? when you get to Acts 20 and 21, all of a sudden they're welcome in Jerusalem. Somehow what happened is, yeah. is there's always this seem that there's always this failure in the amalgamation, as it were, of yeah. religion. And that is what Paul is talking about here, even in when it comes to those who once stood in the truth. Now, did you ever know, there's a in 2 Timothy, there's a progression to this. Do we have time to look at the three progressions?
Yeah, that's what I was getting
I want to show you the progression in 2 Timothy regarding the term truth.
Okay.
And if anyone wants to do a real good study, look up Paul's references to himself. And so when Paul says, all those in Asia turn away from me personally, and you will find that those same words are used for truth. Paul associates the messenger and the message. To turn away from the truth is to turn away from Paul and vice versa. But notice in the first thing that happens in 2 Timothy 2:18, read this. He says, for they will be progressing to more irreverence, and their word will spread as gangrene, of whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who swerve as to the truth. What happens when you swerve?
You're
swerving.
Kind of what happened yesterday when you were coming down I-95 and missed that exit.
Yes. Well, yes, that's true. That is my driving technique. That's swerving. But you know, you're swerving. But then what happens after you swerve? Verse 8 of chapter 3. Now, by the method by which Jannes and Jambres withstand Moses, thus these also are what?
Withstanding the truth.
Withstanding. First you swerve, and then once you do that, you withstand it. And then it's all worse from here. What happens next? 2 Timothy 4, verse 4. It says, starting with verse 3, for the era will be when they will not tolerate, they won't put up, with sound teaching, but their hearing being tickled, they will heap up for themselves teachers in accord with their own desires, and indeed they will be turning their hearing away from the truth, and will be turned aside to myths. Turned aside. So notice the progression. First they swerve, then they withstand, and then they just turn away from it altogether and turn to myths. That's the progression.
And the progression is going on today, folks. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. Paul did not tell Timothy to reform the church. He didn't say that if you got in there and tried to help him, things would be restored. It's not. I want to talk about this. I want to be back with you. I'm glad you're here because we're going to continue on this theme. This is a vital word for today because, again, the deception looks so slick, but it's just that, a deception.
And there is good news, though.
There is good. Yeah, we are going to turn the corner eventually and get
there
the good
news. There is hope, but it's not hope in the system.
It's not hope in the system.
There is solutions for us.
Yes, abandon ship as far as the system goes. Yes. But we have solutions. We have a good word for you, and we're going to be getting to that later this week. We're happy to be here in Fort Lauderdale again. Great thanks to our host, hostess Waylon and Regina Dabbs, and we have a wonderful group of believers here, and we're going to be meeting in Dania Beach, and we'll tell you all about that later as we discuss the truth. Thanks for being with us. See you tomorrow, Dan.
Let's see you tomorrow.